Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everybody. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show on just another beautiful Colorado fall day. Couldn't be any nicer out there. We'll have a great show for you today. And we're brought to you, as always,
by AmericasCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, along with Denver Cinegenics and Dr. Julie McKellen. Yeah, we were at, it was a terrific fundraiser.
We may even have a new sponsor coming up.
Yeah, exactly. We'll keep it secret. We were at a wonderful fundraiser at a gorgeous venue, Dunfin Castle, for Laurel Eimer, and Kelly Ward spoke there. And we have a little bit of that, so we'll play that for you.
It's amazing. You know, Reagan said you should paint in bold colors, not light pastels. You know, the difference between the Republican chair who here in Colorado, who thinks the key is doing whatever polls tested well with affiliates. Kelly Ward, you know,
GOP chair in Arizona. Yeah, she was great.
She lays it out.
So we'll play that. But first, we want to get to Randy Corcoran, fellow talk show host, former, worked with him at KNUS. He has so many lawsuits now. He can't even keep track of them now. Hey, Randy, thank you once again for your time. Sure, appreciate it.
You know, it's very rare that I can't come up with an answer to a question. You know, you kind of get used to that when you get hit by the media or you're on the radio. But when you said, how many active lawsuits you got going? No clue.
But your desk looks very, office looks very busy.
It's very busy.
Well, you know what? When you fight, and I mean this sincerely, when you fight for truth, justice, the Constitution, for patriots, I mean, there you go, right? It is so much under attack these days. You could probably open up field offices around the country and you couldn't keep them staffed. But I want to talk to you about one you've got going now. We had on our show a few weeks ago some folks with connections, I'll put it this way, to Denver public safety officers, explaining that there are a heck of a lot of Denver police officers who do not want to participate in Mayor Hancock's, I believe, unconstitutional vaccine mandate. And they're not just talking anymore. They're doing something about it. And they've hired you, right?
That's right. Yeah. I just want to comment on Kelly Ward real quickly.
Okay, sure.
She and I was in Colorado Springs, or I would have been there with you guys at the fundraiser to see her. But we've been talking quite a bit about what's going on in Arizona with the audit and how the mainstream media and some local talk show hosts are misrepresenting the results of the audit so far. But there's just nobody better. She never backs up. And she got her feet wet and her armor on running against John McCain twice. So she understands the swamp perfectly. And I really adore and respect everything that she's doing.
Couldn't agree more. I didn't have any strong opinions about Kelly Ward, a slightly favorable view, but now, well, after you heard her speak, you know, I've become a real fan.
Well, and they should have let her do the presentation because she just kind of laid it out, right? There was no mealy mouth, wishy-washy. So, and hey, maybe I'll have to have you back on too, because I don't know, Sidney Powell, I think, was in Denver Friday, right? Deposing Eric Coomer. And that whole demand, it's like happening around here lately. But let's get to the lawsuit.
Sure.
I know I had heard about, and I don't know if you know this, a Denver firefighter who was in great shape, was going through the regular agility tests that they have to do, had the vaccine and died. Basically perfectly healthy, died, went into some kind of cardiac issue. They were driving him in their personal cars and he didn't make it to the hospital. That's just tragic. Don't know exactly why, but there certainly are questions there. And you've got Denver cops asking questions as well, right?
Yeah. In fact, I had a Denver police officer on my radio show a couple of Saturdays ago, 34 years old, 4 children, had COVID, pretty serious case last year. But he was 37 or 34, and he got through it. He's healthy, fully recovered. Because of the mandate and the need to feed his family, he took the first jab on August 22nd. He can't walk.
Wow.
And, you know, he gave his name. He told his story. I'm going to ask him if he'll come to court with us on Wednesday. He's not a plaintiff in this case.
Well, talk to us about the case. What's going on with it?
And what court is it in?
Denver District Court. 8 o'clock Wednesday morning, we'll be arguing for a preliminary injunction. We've identified 7 Denver police officers out of literally a couple of hundred people who've contacted us, not just from the police department,
right,
but fire and other city workers that are covered by this broad mandate. And what we discovered when we looked into what they did is that they just simply violated the rules and the law in implementing this mandate. So we put together the legal arguments that say so. You're entitled to very prompt judicial relief from a district court when a county health department acts outside of its boundaries, or actually, even if someone is adversely affected by a legitimate order, they can get in front of a district court judge. And so we filed that lawsuit Thursday night, and we have court Wednesday morning to see if we can get this mandate stopped until we have a full-fledged hearing on the merits.
Who are you in front of?
Judge Shelley Gilman, I believe. I think Gilman is her last name.
Right, right. She's pretty much, we've covered her with the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. I can just tell you that no neighborhood groups have tried to sue the city have ever won, but that's okay. Well, you know, how does this impact?
Yeah, I have to say she was just awful about neighborhood groups and just finding the government could do no wrong. So I hope you have better luck.
What about the fact, I know Jen Psaki was pushed today by reporters who actually want Biden to be doing more to lock us all down, but saying, okay, you know, like weeks and weeks ago, OSHA was supposed to come up with all of these rules. And she was like, well, you know, that takes time. You need to ask OSHA about that. Meanwhile, we're just hoping that employers do that. Does that help you at all? I know the city is a little bit of a different organization, but does that help you at all that really there are no rules out there yet for businesses and just Biden just, you know, issuing a mandate without any really consideration of anything?
Well, I think from a general public perception point of view, the more people understand that so many of these agencies and school boards and employers just do what they want,
right,
the more they start to wake up to just how dangerous allowing this to continue is. I don't think from a legal standpoint, what's going on the federal level applies at all to what the mayor did. The mayor basically piggybacked off of the emergency declaration that Governor Polis issued, gosh, 18 months ago now. but then Polis, and by the way, this is very coincidental, I'm sure, but just before the All-Star game at Coors Field, he rescinded that emergency declaration.
Total coincidence.
But Mayor Hancock, in our view, is continuing to operate as though he has authority that trickles down to him from that gigantic statewide emergency declaration. And then we don't know if it's because he realized he really didn't have the authority or not. It looks like he just delegated then what he wanted to his health department director, who issued an order that I don't think there's any legal basis for him to issue right now.
Okay.
I remember when I had a clerking up on the 10th Circuit and there was a guy brought in on a sabotage act, and they were claiming the war declaration for Korean War continued on forever. I must have said that. Must say that the judges said no.
Maybe
you don't get justice to say we're in a permanent state of war because of the Korean War. So it's. I think that sounds like a pretty good cause of action, even if you have a very tough judge for it.
Well, it's, you know, we're not, this is not a lawsuit that's going to debate the merits of vaccines or masking or quarantine or whether we're still in a pandemic or how emergent this really is, if people are allowed to get access to, you know, treatments if they get sick, or, you know, it's not going to address any of those things. This is, in our view, purely an error in process and an illegal effort to use the laws in a way that they're not intended, nor do they permit.
Did you ever get to be heard? I know you had claims and cases claiming the emergency declarations were extra constitutional, otherwise illegal. Did those ever get heard? Or they just continued on for.
This is extraordinary, Chuck. We've got two lawsuits that have continued. In a lot of cases, we got businesses reopened, then things opened up. you know, money, it's hard to afford these. But the Bandamere lawsuit still is going, and a lawsuit with for CJ's Diner up in La Plata County.
Right.
And the La Plata County case is probably 2 months now waiting on a judge to rule on motions to dismiss filed by the county. Now, you know, they've got up to 90 days. So I don't know anything about this judge. We're being patient. If we get to that 90-day statutory limit for courts to rule on things, we may poke and prod a little bit. But in the Bandamere case, we're now, I think, approaching 300 days that wow. the motions to dismiss are sitting on Judge Teresa Russell's desk. And, you know, frankly, I've talked about this on the radio. Maybe it's not good form. I've liked this judge. I don't have any complaints about anything she's done with our hearings or any prior interactions I've had with her. But the Bandamere season is almost over, and they've left Bandamere completely alone. So we've left the courts alone. That's about to change.
Good. Because you know what, Randy, what you said before, I think gets to the heart of why these lawsuits are so important. When you said, you know, we're not going to argue about the vaccine. We're arguing about the law and the Constitution, because if they can do this with the vaccine, they can do this with anything they decide they want to do it with. And that's why I'm sure they're all kind of just hoping you guys go away and you don't, you know, your clients run out of money or patience or whatever and say, oh, well, we're just going to drop it. Because I think they probably don't want to be pushed on this, because I mean, I'm just a layperson. I'm not a lawyer, but I've covered a lot of them on TV, and it's clearly unconstitutional.
Well, you know, going back to clerk days, there was a case up in the 10th Circuit. They assigned it to a judge who was out of Oklahoma. 3 years later, can't they issue the opinion? I mean, you got
in Colorado. There's actually a statute. And I've only talked to one lawyer in my career that's used it, and he used it 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they, in the short term, they paid for it, but in the ultimate appeal, they won. But if a judge does not rule on a closed matter, fully briefed, ready for ruling within 90 days, you can file a petition directly with the Colorado Supreme Court to withhold that judge's salary.
Oh, wow.
And so you that's can really imagine. Fun. You can imagine why lawyers don't want to use that. I mean, every judge is going to know about it. No judge is going to like it. But if that's the only tool you have,
right.
We've got no choice. So I think when the Bandamere sees, it's up to the clients, of course. But it's no news has been good news for the Bandamere's as they have run an absolute 100% full-blown season.
Right.
That's great.
No, they're great.
That's
well,
great.
Listen, thank you for your time. Good luck on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
I'll be following your Twitter feed to see how that all turns out. So.
Sounds great. I appreciate the time. It's always a pleasure, you guys.
And you guys too. Hey, it's Saturday morning, 7:10 KNUS, right?
Yep. That's 9 to noon. And boy, we'll have a lot to talk about. I've been off the show for 2 weeks. And so there's a lot of weekday drivel to fix.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye. Randy Corcoran, though, that's great that they have. I think I don't want to be pessimistic, but, you know, we have covered that Judge Gilman. And again, she sides with the city. When you've uncovered one case where the city attorney was woefully ill-prepared and the judge was helping the city attorney make the arguments, right? Saying, hey, didn't you want to bring this up? And the attorney was like, oh, good point, Judge.
It was awful. She just led him by the hand. And we wrote a scathing article about her, which she apparently greatly was disturbed by, because she went up to Peter Boyles and let him have it.
Well, and here, this from Dr. Donna. She has a patient out of state who took the jab. It's being told there's nothing can be done for him, and now he's almost unable to walk.
Oh.
People don't who appreciate what one has to say regarding truth, play dirty, and use these unconstitutional methods to come against you. Hey, we're going to open it up. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom and you want to go ahead and comment, just unmute yourself or turn your mic on, whatever, or raise your hand, and we'd be happy to take your comment there. And also, for everybody listening who's not on Zoom, if you ever want to, it's really kind of fun. It's not like your office meetings. You don't have to be up there. You can, you know, you can turn your audio and video off, and then, but you can participate in the chat section, which we can read over here. The Zoom meeting number is 209-576-4000. 206-476-423. That's 209-576-423. Well, I think, you know, I think a couple of important things. I think people are beginning to wake up to the fact that the OSHA and the Biden administration have not come out with any rules, and I don't think are going to come out with any rules. So if I were the owner of a private business of 100 people or more, I think I'd just be kind of, you know, waiting to see what happens.
I'd
just
say I need guidance. And yeah, then.
I would say, yeah, exactly. And if I were an employee, I wouldn't be worried about it. I think the only companies, I mean, I wouldn't get the vaccine. I just wait, and I hadn't yet. I just wait and see how this all plays out. Because I have a feeling all they want to do is approach their woke companies, right? And we had Wayne Allen Root talking about
Disney
how to fight.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, United, on the one hand, Jen Psaki was like, they've implemented it, but they've got 67,000 union members filed a lawsuit against them.
Right.
You've got in New York, some 200 businesses filed a lawsuit against the city of New York saying, it's not our job to require, we can't require this kind of identification from people to come into our restaurant. And they were saying, and this guy, he was like, it's not really political for him. He says, it's business. I'm darned if I do and darned if I don't.
No,
right? I mean, I make everybody angry with this kind of policy. The Black Lives Matter people have pointed out what no one in the mainstream media likes to say, and that is a significant portion of the unvaccinated people are minorities, are Black people.
Well, because they've been subject to medical experiments that didn't turn out so well in Alabama and other places.
Trust
so
the government.
I don't blame them.
No, exactly. And they're saying that New York's policies are racist and specifically targeting Black and African-American people and other minorities. So
what does AOC say?
AOC says tax the rich, even though her rich friend who did her dress hasn't paid her taxes. Yeah. But, you know, tax some rich, not the ones who designed my dresses. But I mean, I think there's beginning to be, I saw there was some videotape of thousands of people just storming a food court on Staten Island saying, you know, USA, USA, not wearing masks. There's a lot of pushback about this. And I think, you know, the same with this booster shot, with, you know, Biden got the booster shot today. You've got the FDA says we don't need the booster shot. We don't know yet. We don't have enough evidence. But Biden is like, you know, the CDC says, screw the science.
He may be having a different booster shot.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I thought that to myself. I thought, I bet they're not actually giving him a booster shot.
Well, they are, but, you know, full of kind of pep me up.
Right. Well, I was going to say, which is not a vaccine again, by the way. So just a lot of stuff going on there. And I think it's great that people like Randy and that people are pushing back and saying, you know, wait a minute, because if I were an employer, one thing you noted that's really significant is that if I'm the pharmaceutical company and it turns out, you know, a few years from now or a few months from now that, oh, maybe it wasn't quite as safe as we thought, I'm immune.
Right.
But if I'm a business owner and I force my employees to get the vaccine and they feel they have an adverse reaction, I can be sued by them, right?
Well, according to that one judge, yes. You never know with judges. So, yeah, I mean, it's potentially a potential liability, forcing someone to take a shot that they may not need, especially if they've ever had COVID. So it's an amazing process that we get our government and big business showing how awful they can really be. I mean, it's just incredible. And while people revolt, well, I think at least a lot of people are, which is why Biden had a 31% approval in Iowa.
Right.
And a poll that everybody says that's the Ann Seltzer's the best pollster. So I'm waiting for more like that. You know, I guess Rasmussen showed him at 40% today.
I mean, there's clearly a downward trend.
Yeah, well, Rasmussen I don't really trust, but I think he's pretty political. Well, favorably, I mean, we need him there so he can counteract all the other
ones.
Keep
this up, Joe. Keep it up. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Well, I know, and again, and the messaging, it, as always, becomes so confusing, right? Everybody has to get the vaccine. And then they're saying, excuse me, but we are not going to give you any rules for it. We just hope that everybody does. In New York City, they're saying, and this is a big question I have, in New York City, they're saying they're going to have to start closing some hospitals and emergency care areas because there's a staff shortage occurring because too many healthcare workers don't want to get the vaccine. Now, none of the media addresses the question, why is it that all these healthcare workers who are on the front lines, who were heroes just a year ago, now have to get fired? I mean, why is it that these people people are willing to get fired rather than get the vaccine. No one's, you know, no one's asking that, but that's okay. And instead, they're going to bring in the National Guard to take care of you. So that'll go great.
Shoot you up, all right.
And then they're going to turn around and, you know, the headline's going to be hospitals overrun. Well, that's because they fired all of their workers for not getting the vaccine that they didn't need in the first place. I mean, you couldn't make this up. No. If you had said a year ago, that, well, maybe 2 years ago, that this is where the country was like, you'd be like, no.
Well,
no.
What I found outrageous is the governor puts out this mandate on questionable grounds that he has the authority. Yeah. 2.5 years later now, and you know, Randy filed the suit almost right away.
Right.
And a judge that just sat on it. It doesn't matter if he's required to. It's just like so much of the elite, they just don't believe any of the rules apply to them.
Right.
Oh, I have to issue an opinion in 90 days? Oh, no.
Well, that might be kind of uncomfortable for me because some people may not like that opinion. And actually, I don't want to overturn all these illegal mandates, but because I have no problem. And
he'll declare, well, it's all moot now anyway. Right. I waited so long, you know.
That's what they're trying to do. I don't know. I'm not particularly feeling confident about the U.S. Supreme Court on any of this either. They'll just kick it down the road. All right. Well, enough negative news. Let's get some positive news. So we were at a wonderful fundraiser for Laurel Eimer.
And I'm not supporting any particular candidate in that primary. Julie paid. So just all those people.
Okay. Yeah, technically that's right. It was, I paid. I like
all the Republican candidates and for that seat. And I think Laurel would be one of the great ones.
Well, if anybody out there listening is involved with a campaign or knows somebody too, let me say, any candidate is welcome on the show, whether we agree with them or disagree. And even if we disagree with them, we're not going to just roll over. It is truth straight up, but we will give them ample opportunity to present their side. And without Chuck being able to beat them up. So just because we think there's so few formats anymore where people can actually hear about that. And if you're a candidate, where do you go for that? But anyway, it was a great fundraiser, and in the, I mean, it was a beautiful venue up there at Dunafin Castle. But also they had great speakers. Tom Pangrato, we heard him speak. Yeah. He was great as always. And then Kelly Ward, she is the Arizona Republican Party chairperson. And she was saying they called her. Actually, it was pretty cool. She said she had just been on the phone with Trump that morning, that Trump was calling her. We were like, oh my gosh, that's pretty cool to say, what the heck? You know, why are the media lying about the Arizona audit results? And then they were saying that Newsweek had a story saying that some of the Maricopa County Republicans were calling on her to resign. Yeah. And she just laughed. She's like, oh, I'm not going to happen.
Not going to do.
She was great. So we recorded a little bit of her speech where she talked about the election audit reports, the mainstream media reporting on it. Even Fox News, I got to say, where they said, see, it shows Biden won. And she says, it's all a lie. And I'm going to apologize a little bit. I think the audio was great. The video itself.
It was a little bit of an operator
error there. But anyway, Thomas, if we could please play Arizona number one.
It's a lie. If you have a pile full of counterfeit money, you are not rich. Okay, if you have a pile of half counterfeit and half real money, you're only as rich as the real money. These votes are fraudulent. I'm going to say it right here. It was fraud. It wasn't just incompetence, but there was plenty of incompetence in Maricopa County. It wasn't just mistakes that people made as they copied ballots or as they wrote down storage numbers on boxes when they got those ballots. It was outright fraud. We have over 23,000 people that voted that shouldn't have. We have over 17,000 duplicated ballots, many of those that came in after the election between November 4th and November 9th. Why? No idea. But over 17,000 duplicated ballots. We have people who don't exist at addresses who cast votes. We have so much manipulation of an election that was decided by 0.3% of the vote, 10,457 votes to be exact, out of over 3.4 million. And the media is trying to tell you that they know that Joe Biden won. It's impossible. I'll tell you this, in my opinion, I believe Trump won.
There you go. There you go. I mean, and she should have done the presentation. She just laid it flat out there. And she talked about these were fraudulent votes. I thought, what a perfect way to put it. If you have a stack of money and it's counterfeit, you're not really rich. You can say, I have a stack of money, but you're not rich. If you have, and she said, if half of it is counterfeit and the other half isn't, you only have as much real money as that. So when you have I think they figured like 57,000 votes that were potentially illegal or that were fraudulent one way, shape or form. The reason for them being fraudulent, who knows? I think we know, but we don't, the audit didn't get into that, but you can't turn around and say, this is a perfectly fine election. And do we think that somehow this is just going on in Maricopa County? I don't think so. I think to have that level of stuff going on, there has to be, don't you think, Chuck, some level of organization and pre-planning. They couldn't just let that all happen, you know, after 7 o'clock.
But you need an attorney general, which Arizona does not have, who's willing to go after the fraud and go after people and all of a sudden reveal what people did. It's really amazing because that much fraud, 50,000 votes, fraudulent votes, and there's no real remedy, it doesn't appear. It's just like, oh, well, you know, 50,000 fraudulent votes. I mean, you'd need an attorney general kind of, okay, we're going to check, you know, did this person vote twice? In which case, you know, we'll do it. Or do they vote for him? And
one of the other things she talked about was the number of signature issues thousands and thousands of signature issues that the judges said, nope, those are okay. Right. That they didn't get kicked out or anything like that. And so there is, I think, Chuck, like you said, one remedy obviously would be to go after the people and try to get to the bottom of how this happened. But that's not going to happen. I think the real remedy, and this is where Republicans need to wake up, and now we're going to kind of transition here, but is we need to fix the, how do I say, I don't even want to say fix. We need to change the election laws. We need to go back to laws that give us an election that is fair and transparent. The way you do that, number one, you get rid of ballot harvesting. You just make it completely illegal for anyone to harvest anyone's ballot, right? I think the train has left the station. I think in California today, they just signed, you know, making universal all-mail ballot permanent. So I think that train has gone, right? I don't think we're going to get that back to you. I mean, I think that's it. Well, I think that one, but
we do need, this is, I have to say, Kelly Ward's a fighter and she's fighting for Trump. She's fighting for the country. She's fighting for Arizona. And you can just feel it in all the energy she has. And, you know, I can't help but compare it to Colorado where we want
to. We're not supposed to talk about this.
No, can't talk
about it. We can't talk about this.
It's a gold standard. What we have to do is have a platform that poll tests well with unaffiliateds. And what posts just problem, you know. Transparency. We're for transparency.
We got a caller here. We have Reka, am I pronouncing you right, from Colorado. Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for calling in. Hello?
Hey, is this for Rocco?
This is Julie, Chuck and Julie. Who is this?
Yeah, this is Rocco in Golden, Colorado. How you doing?
Oh, hey, okay, Rocco. Good. How are you doing?
Great. I'm so happy to find you again. I thought the technocrats had disappeared you completely.
They tried. We're banned from YouTube, but we're here. So you can get us on Rumble and at bbsradio.com. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I found you again today. Are you still doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Yeah, 3 to 4. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I'm glad I found you again. Hey, you know, Biden made a real show of getting his booster shot today. I'm very suspicious when those staged vaccinations occur. I mean, what are the odds that was nothing more than a saline injection?
Well, they've had ones with healthcare workers where it was just a saline solution. It was nothing other than that. You know, they made a big thing about these people were taking the vaccine shot and they weren't. They were just taking a saline solution.
I thought the same thing, Raga. I just thought, you know, given Joe Biden's precarious health situation and, you know, cognitive state anyway, I mean, you got to wonder, one, could he actually sign a release that said I could take it for him? But I thought exactly the same thing. I thought, you know.
They wouldn't cheat, though.
You don't think they would lie to us, do you?
Right. Yeah, he mentioned something about a 97 that I think the question was to him, when will, you know, we be back to normal? And he said something about 97, 98% vaccination. I mean, that's not going to happen. There is no vaccination ever where 97% of the country has taken that. Not a single one. If you think about all the people coming into the country and they're not monitored.
Yeah, 12,000.
That's just never happened.
Well, look at the number of people being born every week, right? Like you said, it's a sort of a physical impossibility to get there unless you've got doctors standing there into the delivery room going,
jabbing the kids.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely. Well, and again, though, Rocky, you notice if you come, maybe we should all go down to Mexico, cross the Rio Grande, in Del Rio, and then I guess then we don't have to get the vaccine.
Right. Well, I know Americans who've gone to Mexico to live. I mean, that's what it's like now.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Well, thank you.
You know, the media are standing by. The media are standing by Joe Biden, not necessarily for ideological reasons, but that might be part of it. But if they have to come out and confront that they allowed this fraudulent election to slip by, that's on them. That's a huge miss on their part.
Well, yep. They've had a lot of huge misses, and this last one from Hunter Biden's laptop to
Russiagate,
to the quote-unquote insurrection, which is an FBI-led deal. You're absolutely right. So I don't know if the media will ever get its, former high standing of the American
public. But I don't think very many people, whatever side of the aisle you're on, really trust the media to be giving them the straight story, do you?
No. Absolutely not. And the media is so fractured now. I mean, we remember the days of Rather Brokaw and Jennings. I mean, that was the holy grail handed down to us. Everyone waited for their television news
right.
Anyway, in the evening. But no, the media is so fractured now, and most of that's for the better. But anyway, I'm so happy to have found you.
I'm back on
the Chuck and Julie train.
Yay!
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling. Have a great afternoon.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Right. Well, to go to your point of fighting, I want to play this soundbite too, because this is Kelly Ward talking about how important it is. So, Thomas, if we could play the Arizona number two sound clip, please.
To empower and educate each other. I want you to collaborate with each other. I want you to organize with each other. And as Republicans, that's been something we have been very, very bad at. We have to organize. And then last but not least, we have got to act. Because if we, as patriotic, America-loving, liberty-loving Americans, do not stand up and act, we will lose this great country that this amazing flag represents. It's not going to happen on my watch. I'm not going to shut up, sit down, be shamed. I'm right here. I'm here to fight. The left built me, and some on the right, actually, to be the bionic woman. They have tried to take me down for 10 years. I'm still here fighting. I'm still here protecting others. And I need you guys to take up your time. That's how we're going to make America great again, and how we're going to save America. Thank you.
Woo! See, she was good. I mean, and it's hard to even just capture that, the whole thing. She gave a quick speech, but it was all about fighting, telling the truth.
Said, the Democrats are not nice people. Quit saying that. They're trying to destroy your country, your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, your children's education. They're trying to destroy. They are evil.
Yeah,
she said.
And she said, we need to quit talking about playing nice. 888-627-6008 if you want to weigh in. 888-627-6008. And also, if you're on Zoom and you want to comment too, just go ahead and unmute yourself or turn your camera on and you can do that. And I think, Chuck, I think everybody in that audience was sitting there saying, you know what, why do we not have Republican leadership in Colorado that fights like that, that stands up and says, quit telling us it's a gold standard, this or that, quit telling us. I mean, they've tried to turn it. And that's sort of your clue, number one, that you're right, is when they don't want to argue the facts with you, when they want to shame you, when they want to ban you, when they want to just try to humiliate you and troll you. And when everyone on Twitter tells you you're wrong, well, now you know you're right, that we can't even talk about the election. YouTube kicked us off of YouTube for shows we did months and months and
quoting
months ago.
Governor.
Yeah, quoting the governor, but also about the election, right? I think that Kelly Ward is absolutely right. We need to stand up. We need to fight. We need to have people like Randy Corcoran, where you say, you know, I'm going to file a lawsuit. We need those brave Denver police officers to say, I'm not getting that jab. And you know what the FBI said, murders were up 30% in 2020 over 2019. But hey, that's get rid of our firemen and our policemen and our healthcare workers because they won't get a vaccine. I mean,
it's amazing stuff, but we need more Kelly Wards, and we need more Kelly Wards in Colorado, and people like Laurel Eimer, as well as other people can.
Why do we not have them, do you think?
Well, I wrote an editorial about them.
Coincidentally.
Coincidentally.
Actually, you didn't feed me that question. I just...
you know, it's the donors and their consultants. There's only one real donor, and that's Phil Anschutz, and he's a Rockefeller Republican. He does not like Trump. He does not believe the election probably was stolen. And they plan to run the Republican Party into the ground. And it's going to be run into the ground. Rest assured, this next election will be a disaster, as the last two have been a disaster. And then they'll blame Trump again and again and again. They don't know how to fight the Democrats. They don't know how to fight ballot harvesting and everything else they've done.
Do you think they even care, though? I mean, I wonder.
That's
my bigger question. Yeah. Is it that they don't know, that they're just ignorant, or is it just that they're making money, they're getting their power, their piece of the pie, so they have no, they don't need to.
Right. Well, you know, we tried to have a Republican primary, and who came out against us? Well,
everyone.
Well, not everyone. It's Phil. Well, I mean, you know, Independence Institute, I think, you know, they don't make their donors public, but it believes that Phil, that they came out, complete Colorado, Colorado Politics, Denver Gazette, Colorado Springs Gazette, which is supposed to be a little more conservative, but it's not, and all terrified that Republicans would actually have Republicans deciding who their candidates would be.
Well, and I mean, that's one thing we've talked about, that what we need to do, and we're just so you guys know, too, that something we're kind of actively trying to figure out how to make happen. And that is, a lot of the conservative media in this state is controlled by either Democrats or by these moderate, the establishment wing, Phil Anschutz, I guess, to put it bluntly. And what we need to do is work at establishing our own kind. I mean, you've got America's Citizen Press, but that's nationwide. But, you know, I know those guys are doing a great job, and we need to be doing things and are looking at figuring out how to do that, to have maybe a grassroots kind of site where you can at least push back and say, well, here's our reasons not, because the Phil Anschutz conservative media, it's all just a bunch of former Denver Post reporters.
Yeah.
And so they just interview each other. And who do they go interview when this comes up? Well, Dick Wadhams. Well, Dick Wadhams has I like Dick Wadhams. He's got a very particular point of view. Yeah. He's one of the guys making money off the system the way it is now. He's one of the persons that, you know, want some of those consultants that would lose power and money. So when they interview them, it's like a chamber, an echo chamber, where they're all talking to each other. Oh, we've got dogs.
Dogs are great. Yeah,
you go ahead and take it. I'm going to go.
I always tell Julie, let's not have them down there. She says, No. They've been great. Nothing better than having your dogs take over your show. But the Republican Party is in real trouble in Colorado, and the Democrats like them as being the Washington Generals, and they like the fact that even though in Denver a lot of iffy things happen concerning the polls, they never protest, they never prevent things, they never do anything. We never fight. I've gone around all over the state to have Republicans do the Republican one, and people were quitting the Republican Party. Why? Was it the Republican Party is not more like the Democratic Party? No, is that our party never fights. It never fights about anything. We send out a few press releases. Then we have some milquetoast candidates, and then we just lose. And we lose, and we keep on losing more and more. And pretty soon the legislature will be Democrat and Democrat light, and that's all it'll be.
Oh, but we're going to keep fighting. Dog situation is under control.
Under control.
Well, let me switch a little bit to one other thing I wanted to talk about.
What's that?
Is that okay? But again, you guys can feel free if you want to comment on any of this. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Or just go ahead and unmute yourself. Another, though, of the narratives that is falling apart. And keep this in mind. Every time they try to slam you for saying something and say misrepresentation, misinformation, you know
conspiracy
that in a few months, conspiracy theory, you know that in a few weeks, a few months, it's all going to be proven to be true,
yeah,
right? I mean, we should just maybe just start saying stuff and see if they, but another one, so we've got the Russiagate, which now they all say, okay, well, I guess maybe we did make that up. The server wasn't hacked. You've got the Hunter Biden laptop story. Okay. I mean, political.
Russian disinformation.
That's Russian disinformation. Okay. Well, that's true. You've got the border guys whipping those Haitians. Well, okay.
Maybe that
wasn't had anything to do
with it. And notwithstanding the fact that Jake Tapper, who was not my favorite, but is with Mayorkas, whoever his name is, the DHS, he's saying there's no whipping there. Well, let the facts determine that. You know?
The facts are that there was no whipping. It's like, we'll tell you the facts as we give them to you. Well, the other thing that's starting to go down the tubes, and it's going to be curious to see how this unfolds, is the whole January 6th insurrection. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have followed on Revolver News. It's revolver.news, but they've done a good job that is now being picked up by, bizarrely, the New York Times over the weekend, of showing that like all of the people there were FBI agents or FBI informants. Babylon Bee had a really funny skit where the FBI was like and then they all had to arrest each other and then unarrest each other. But that's what was going on, that there were, and the leader of the so-called Proud Boys, who was clearly an FBI informant, hasn't even been indicted or charged. So how could you have a conspiracy, number one, when the leader of the conspiracy hasn't even been indicted? But he can't be indicted because he was an informant for the FBI. So if he's indicted, so the FBI, the New York Times had a really interesting article today kind of talking about this. And I think what's going on here is that, like with a lot of stuff, when you push back, like with Randy Corcoran, the lawyers for all those people who were arrested, who, by the way, many of whom are still behind bars.
That's just unbelievable. We don't have a free country.
No, but at any rate, they're saying, no, we're not going to plea bargain. I mean, that's why they're keeping them there, because they can't, it's one of those cases where they can't afford to have the facts come out. So they want to pressure the people, pressure them to take a plea bargain. So then it just all goes away, and they're not. So now they're getting into the discovery portions and they're having to release the tapes that we've seen. And it's not at all like the mainstream media went ahead and reported it. It's the kind of thing where it turns out that in the documents that are coming out, that there are all kinds of FBI informants feeding the FBI information in real time and before. So the New York Times had a story saying, surprisingly to me, it's kind of hard to charge them with a conspiracy when all of them are saying, well, there was no conspiracy. It wasn't planned, because they're between a rock and a hard place. Well, if it was planned and all these guys are working for the FBI, well, then the FBI was clearly aware that it was planned and did nothing. And in fact, was part of the plan, the people planning it were the informants. But if it wasn't planned, well, then it wasn't a conspiracy. Then it was just people wandering around the Capitol, many of whom were FBI agents.
You know, they really, there was an article, I don't know what it was in, but just said, we got to get rid of the FBI. It is just so awful from top to bottom anymore. They just get rid of it, expand the U.S. Marshals, or do something else, because that the FBI has been so tainted. I mean, there's an interesting interview or Senate hearing where Senator Johnson was talking with Ray, who's the head of the FBI, and he said, you know, I was set up with a so-called briefing from the FBI. It was all bull, and the only purpose of it was to leak that I had been thing. And Ray's like, I know that's important to you, and someday, you know. I mean, it's hard to believe.
It's an incredibly corrupt organization, and I'm sorry, people may not like me for saying this, but I get tired of people saying, I know most of the rank and file are perfectly good people. Well, you know what? If they're perfectly good people, why aren't they standing up and fighting against us? Why aren't they saying, guys, do you think that we should have the entire Trump crowd being infiltrated by FBI agents who are going to try to lead an insurrection? Is that a good idea? Or do you think we should set all these people up? If they were such, I don't know, at a certain point, I think you have an obligation. You take an oath if you're an FBI agent. And I don't think that.
To
oath,
what?
Yeah. Well, it's not to like go along to get along and try to get your pension. But I think
that would be closer to the oath they've actually taken.
But what I'm curious about, though, is what is the New York Times now beginning to turn on the FBI? And if so, why? I mean, there's
the CIA turn on the FBI.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird kind of unraveling And you know, again, I see I'm total conspiracy theory here, but it turns out to be right. But it just seemed odd to me. And I don't know if maybe they're trying to get ahead of the story because all of this information is now starting to come out through the courts and they're trying to kind of spin it. But I found it was interesting because
could be journalism ethics. Now.
And that, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, isn't that funny? That doesn't even begin to cross my mind that they were just actually doing their job as reporters, an ethical job. But it was over the weekend and it was buried, of course, in the Denver Post, but it was a fairly lengthy article where the New York Times reporter was going through these documents and confirming what the Revolver.News has been saying all along, that there were all kinds of people in that crowd who were FBI agents or FBI informants, and that they had been in contact with the FBI for a long time, and that they were saying, no, we didn't have a plan. We just, you know, not that many of us really. We didn't have a plan. And then you see the videotape of people who are not
wandering around with police officers right next to them.
Right. Oh, but, yeah.
You know,
and not only
this is an insurrection.
Well, but the people who are doing the insurrecting, which they're not getting into it, they're not the Trump supporters, right? No. There are other Antifa-looking people or their identities covered. And again, they're really picking and choosing who they're indicting in this. And they're really not indicting some of the key players, the so-called leaders of it, which makes you wonder, was a whole thing an FBI thing?
Yeah, I remember the thing that Kelly Ward said that was very interesting. He said, you know, we have Donald Trump's going to be endorsing people, and it's our job to support those people Donald Trump's endorsing. And I agree with that. Normally, yeah. I would not take somebody's endorsement. You know, you can go on your own. And Donald Trump has made some bad endorsements of people who really weren't very pro-Trumpy, but he just didn't know it. But I really do think if Donald Trump really tries hard, he'll get maybe 90% right, 85% right, 80% right. And that's better than we normally get. I mean, you know, you start with a Cory Gardner who's all Mr. Tea Party. And in his, when it comes up, he's really a Democrat. I mean, he grew up as a Democrat, was a Democrat, but he loved politics. The only way to get elected from Yuma was to be a Republican. But so it's hard to you know, figure one out. But I certainly do agree that if Trump supports somebody, well, normally that would not be the end of the inquiry. I think for this time,
well, it's a good litmus test, which I don't. And here back to the Leo is saying you can't reform a large organization; you have to replace it and all with new people. I think you're right on that, Leo. The FBI, like I said, I'm tired of hearing, oh, the vast majority of people are
99.
Good. Yeah.
As Sean Hannity, like 99%. You go, well, it's 99%, but that's the rotten part. It's a
1%. Yeah, there's 1%, and they've all had to quit or be transferred to Siberia or something. Dr. Donna, is that those in jail been held for over 6 months now? Yes.
That's
awful. Julie Kelly is doing a great job at this at the Federalist. They have been. One guy was 61, died in custody, right? And these are people who, the worst, when now that the whole conspiracy thing is unraveling, right? So what they did at best was walk into a public building, right? I mean, the cops weren't telling them to leave. We've got video of that. These are people who walked into a public building.
But you know, all the judiciary in Washington is federalized. There's no kind of separate system. It's a federal system, even for the smaller courts, which is not the case everywhere else. They're all Democrats and all very partisan Democrats and very anti-Trump.
Right.
So if you think you're going to get a fair system, and if you go up to the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, it's overwhelmingly Democrats.
Right. So. But see, and Dr. Don asked about speedy trial. Well, here's again, when you follow this and it gets complicated, but the government has been stonewalling, handing over information. It's not, you know, that's why these tapes came out the other day. Tucker Carlson had them on that showed kind of sketchy looking guys, but they weren't Trump supporters, were the first ones kind of through the window, and other people were just walking in the doors and the police let them in. I mean, they don't want that out, and it particularly
what's this bail reform movement? I mean, aren't these people entitled to bail?
Right.
I mean,
the Black Lives Matter people, all of those people, the Antifa people, they've all been released, the charges dropped. And right. And Ashley Babbitt, of course, is killed. The media keeps reporting that. But it's going to be interesting because the January 6th, the Congressional Commission wants to go after Trump, right? They're trying to subpoena Trump and his people. Well, how do you do that when you now have in all of the FBI depositions and the information that's coming out in discovery, you have all these people saying, no, we had no plan. We just were there. So how can you take that up to Trump and say, well, Trump led them to this conspiracy.
How can you say it? You know, Trump and the Alpha Bank thing. I mean, that was clearly felonious, clearly a lie. They knew that. They didn't think it would withstand any. It didn't matter. They don't care about truth, honesty, and justice. I mean, they really don't. They're devoid of any of those feelings. I mean, it's just, let's get.
But it's become so apparent anymore, right? I mean, I got to imagine, I think I was telling you guys, I had lunch with a friend who leans probably a little bit moderate, perhaps a little bit liberal. And she was like, I think everything's a conspiracy theory. She said, I don't trust anything the government tells me. Right. And she's a bright woman. And she said, I don't trust anything I hear in the media. She said, it all turns out to be wrong. It all turns out to be skewed. And I think, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi hopes that they can ride this January 6th insurrection into the midterms, but I don't think so. I think that the more information that comes out, the worse it looks. And that's what I wonder if the New York Times article is just an attempt to kind of bury it a little bit and say, everybody move on.
Hard to know.
You know, we need to, I don't know what you're going to run on if you're a Democrat. COVID, no. Mask mandates, that's popular. The economy, that's bad. Afghanistan, no, that's not going to work. I don't know.
The border, no.
I mean, it's hard to run on. I'm not Trump. It's like,
Trump. Yeah, okay, you're not Trump. It's going to be an amazing election. And of course, we'll get a good peak view on November with the Virginia election. Can Republicans take Virginia, which it used to be a Republican state, now it's turned to a blue state. Can they come back and take that gubernatorial election? It's fairly close, 4 or 5 points. So that'll be a fascinating harbinger of things to come.
Well, and it's hopefully somebody in Virginia is saying, hey, I know, guys, let's keep a really close eye on the ballots. I mean, hopefully, you know, I mean, if you can throw in 50,000, 55,000 fraudulent ballots, that's enough to make a difference, you know?
Well, so they're good at that. They did it in Arizona. They can do it.
That's the only thing that worries, not the only thing, but a main thing that worries me about why they don't particularly get bent out of shape about how bad they're doing is they're like, doesn't matter. Well, you know, doesn't
Stalin
matter.
Said, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes.
There you go. All right. Hey, listen, that's going to do it for us. We've got a great show coming up on Wednesday. We're going to be talking to a couple of people, again, a little bit more on the COVID thing, but a medical worker who is fighting hard. She's leading some healthcare workers' defense funds, trying to help people fight back against some of these illegal vaccine mandates. And all just all kinds of other, who knows what will happen between now and then. Want to thank the great guys at BBS and Randy Corporan. Oh, we'll have the results of Randy's hearing too. You know,
we'll have Randy's hearing and it's going to be an interesting week. So stay tuned.
Buckle up. Check us out at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you follow us. Thank you to all the folks who have subscribed to us. You can do that at bbsradio.com.
We do want to subscribe. You know, that's been wonderfully helpful. So thank you, each and every one of you who've subscribed to us, and hope we'll get more.
That's right. We appreciate it. We will see you all on Wednesday. Bye, everyone on Zoom.